Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Our text is verse 9, but I want to begin reading with verse 3. Let's hear the word of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing this morning as once again we have an opportunity to open your word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will enlighten the scriptures, you illuminate them to us, and that our hearts and our minds will be opened and that we can receive them. I thank you much, Lord. Amen. I was thinking the other day, thinking about history, you know. And it seems that in American history, the 1960s were kind of a turbulent time. A lot of things happened in that decade. We were invaded by the British for the second time. But of course, this time it was with a different flavor of rock and roll. And while throughout history, there has always been a drug culture, it was during that decade that things in our nation really seemed to flourish. There was a war in Vietnam, and that war had escalated. And there were many young men who were being called into military service. And most of the men called complied. There were some that found another way out. Some that refused to go joined themselves up to what was known as the peace movement. I thought it was interesting. Wikipedia actually had a definition for a peace movement. They called it a social movement whose ideals were to end the war and hopefully all wars, to minimize interhuman violence in a particular place or type of situation. And it included the banning of guns and often linked to the goal of achieving world peace. That's a mouthful and quite a high target for a bunch of people who really didn't know what they were about. Too often during that time, there were peace protests, but the protests certainly were anything but peaceful. Some of them actually became violent, all in the name of peace. There was this desire among people in society to manufacture peace in a people who had no experience with it. Peace was not only lacking in the society in general, but it also affected the institutions that made up the society. Families were disrupted. Parents turned on children. Children turned on parents. They went back and forth. It's not odd, you know. Solomon told us there's nothing new under the sun. Some things never change. It's when children always think they're smarter than their parents. It's always been that way. It's not until you're maybe 30 years old before you realize how dumb you are and how smart your folks were. But families had these problems. Churches, who had been successfully infiltrated by liberals, grew cold in their faith. And false messages of peace were delivered from pulpits. And quite often, the text that we're using this morning was used to legitimize things that were that had nothing to do with the meaning of what Christ was teaching about. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. What is peace? Webster has a whole slew of definitions. But the first definition says, in a general sense, peace is a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation. It's applicable to society, to individuals, or to the temper of the mind. You know, if we were to experience true peace in this earth, what we'd really be having is a taste of heaven. It's an odd thing. But there are human beings who are content with chaos. In fact, they're not happy unless they're stirring a pot somewhere. Many, many, many years ago, there was a fellow who was around who informed pastors of different churches that it was his ministry. He had the gift of rebuking. And it was his purpose to go from church to church and tell them what was wrong with their church. And all they would have had to say, well, it was the minute that you walked in the door, we found it. But that fellow was not successful in his work. Some people just can't be at peace. Some folks are unwilling to have peace made with them. And for those apart from divine intervention, there's not much really that can be done. They may have some desire for some sort of personal peace, but they want it as a gift, and they want it without cost. They're unwilling to do anything to create a peaceful situation. I was reading Dr. Barnhouse the other day, and he had this little blurb. He says, imagine a man who has been in an automobile accident. His leg is twisted and it's out of socket and the bone is broken. But he tells the doctor, give me a sedative quickly so that I can be at peace and rest. I want to sleep. Just give me a drug and go away. And he says, what a fool he would be. No man in his right mind would ever do that. For peace to occur in that man's situation, the bone would have to be set, and the socket, or the leg would have to be placed back into the socket. And then healing would take its course. He simply wanted to be numbed from it all and put in a state where he didn't have to acknowledge anything. See, when it comes to knowing true peace, God is not going to allow it until one possesses divine righteousness. It has to be done God's way. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. In the early part of this sermon that Jesus is preaching, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are the people who are about the business of bringing tranquility to others. We have to assume that the people who are making peace actually know peace. And that knowledge can only be obtained by receiving the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can be at peace. Secondly, we need to understand that what Jesus is teaching about, what he's preaching about, is not a peace that is being made with God. It's not between God and man. Because no man can acquire peace with God on his own. It's entirely the work of God alone. Entirely. We don't understand that. We have our moments. We have our times in our lives where we're distressed and distraught. We look for something to settle us down. Or it's someone that we love who is enduring a situation. And we want to be able to reach out to them. We want to be able to settle them down. But without the righteousness of Christ in our life, without the fact of Him living within us and within them, our efforts, while they may be noble, are futile. No man can acquire peace with God on his own. Certainly, guys have tried. You'll hear testimonies from people over the years how I was seeking God. This was upsetting in my life. I had this problem in my life or that problem. I was seeking God. And yet the scriptures tell us no one does that. Because really, in our natural selves, we don't want God. God disturbs us. God is holy, and we are sinful, and there is no peace to be found in that relationship. Jesus in John 14 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." You see, this is real peace. This is peace with God. This is something that is given to us by the Prince of Peace. When God blesses us with such a state of mind, when God leads us and brings us into that state of tranquility where we can have peace because our peace is with God. And whatever goes on about us, whatever disturbances that we enter into, we come back, we race back to the cross. We say, "I can only find it with you, Lord. My peace can only be found with you." If by God's grace you've been granted that, if you are at peace with Him, then we have a duty. We have an obligation that we are to be diffusers of that peace. We are to spread it where we can, to offer opportunities to those that are about us. If we are aware that there is a strife between Molly and Polly, who happen to be sisters in Christ, we have a duty to God and we have a duty to them to attempt to intercede, to try to bring them together. The thing is, in real life situations, those who would be the peacemaker, those who would be about the business of bringing peace to a disturbed situation, are not always looked at with welcoming eyes. Often they're looked at with disdain. Because if we are going to offer peace to someone, to anybody, we're offering them Jesus. And you see, to have peace requires our submission to Him. So we enter into that situation trying to bring these folks together, and if there's a refusal to submit to the Lord Jesus, we are not going to be successful in our endeavor. And while we start out with good intentions, we may be looked at by the recipients as bad guys, people that they don't really want to associate with. Does that mean you don't try? Not at all. We absolutely try. We have to make the offer, have to make the attempt. It's like when we give the gospel to someone. We cannot convert anybody. We do not in ourselves have the ability to make someone a Christian. That's God's work. Our job, if you would, is to give the message. We're to give the information. What that individual does with that information is between them and God. If God says, now's your day, this is your time, then God has done a work in a life, and you've had the opportunity to participate in the giving. But God always is the one who does the work. When we try to bring two parties together who might be at loggerheads, we try to bring them to the peace that passes all understanding. It's work. It is labor. And even if we're not successful in our first attempt, we must persevere. We must carry on. We must try. If they are stubborn, if they refuse to hear you, we're reminded that 1 Samuel tells us that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And so there might be a little hesitation there. There might be a little problem there. But the psalmist in the 34th Psalm also tells us to seek peace and pursue it. That means we just don't sit back and say, oh, well, yeah, give it my best shot. Didn't work. We just let it go. We continue. We persevere. We plod on, if you would. We should never be content to just let things go on. We should try to be the peacemaker. Jesus said that the peacemaker shall be called the child of God. Wouldn't it be an attribute of one of God's children to be a maker of peace? To be one who tries to bring that to happen in his situations? Children of God, by adopting grace which is manifest in their regeneration, and that is evidenced by the fruits of it, of which this is one. This is one. We say, well, I can't very well do that. Sure, I'm a child of God. I just don't feel led. You know? I don't feel led to do that. Matter of fact, I'm feeling a little bit influenced, and I'm thinking, I don't really like those people anyway. You know what? I don't care that they're not at peace. In fact, let's throw a little gasoline on that fire. Well, that's craziness. That tells us, one, we're either not a child of God, or two, if we are a child of God, we're in for a major league chastening. Paul, writing to the Romans in the 12th chapter, he said, as much, if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible, you see, sometimes it's not always possible. But as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And we labor. We labor to bring those folks in. Particularly when the disturbance is in the body of Christ. It's our desire that we find this place of tranquility with each other and in Christ. And we do that by bringing the gospel of peace. Matthew Henry wrote that the children of this world love to fish in troubled waters. But the children of God are the peacemakers. They're the quiet in the land. While I certainly don't recommend his theology, John Michael Talbot has written some beautiful music. And he has a great album. It's called Come to the Quiet. A place where our minds need to come and rest and settle. And when we see our brothers and sisters, people in our families, when there's disturbance, when there is chaos, we need to be about this business of being a child of God and doing our best to be the peacemaker for His glory. Let's pray.